It's time to pray, America. It's time to pray for change.
We need to see a change. America, America, come back to the place where you were in your beginning days. We need to stand on the firm foundations that our fathers laid. We need to see a change. We're lost inside the dark. Light up. Love of God, redeem us. Holy Ghost, lead us today.
In 1966, the Holy Spirit spoke to Dale Gentry and said these words: "Give me the first hour of your day, and I'll change your life."
The Great Awakening. What happened to the power of God, like on Azusa Street? A Great Awakening. Dark. Light our way. Help us to know who you are today. Then nothing stands between us. Love of God, redeem us. Holy Ghost, lead us.
He responded. And now, over 40 years later, thousands across this nation and around the world pray daily with Dale.
It's coming now, it's coming now. Revival's coming now. It's coming now, it's coming now. Revival's coming now. Yes, it is, and it's coming now, it's coming now. Revival's coming.
Your Hour of Power prayer leader, Dale Gentry.
Hey, thank you very much, and good Friday, everybody. Good to have you listening in here on BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station around the globe, around the clock. Anytime you can pray with me, 24 hours a day. Good to have you listening in, and today we have a special guest on who is an incredible trainer. We're going to have him on this Saturday night, one of the biggest boxing matches in history, and the history of boxing will take place in Vegas with a purse of $250 million to be shared by these two men. The winner, one of the men takes away $150 million. Floyd Mayweather, and so it's going to be an incredible boxing match. So we're kind of thinking about boxing today. You said, well, that doesn't sound very spiritual, but to me, but I have a spiritual son, Evander Holyfield, who is a five-time world boxing champ, and today I'm going to have his trainer on and a personal friend of mine, Tim Hallmark. He's going to talk about training the body, training the spirit. And so I think, Paul said there's a natural and a supernatural. And so we're going to have Tim Hallmark on in just a little while, and he's going to be sharing some things with us. I would like to remind you that this Sunday morning and Sunday night, I'll be ministering at Calvary Cathedral International, Fort Worth, Texas. And we will be celebrating the 20th anniversary of the Power Tower prayer ministry there in Fort Worth, Texas. And so it was 20 years ago this Sunday that we started a 24-hour prayer ministry, and I had the tremendous privilege and honor of helping start that ministry. And people prayed around the clock at Calvary Cathedral for 18 years. For the last couple of years, they prayed like 16, 18 hours a day. So the prayer ministry has been going on for 20 years. And in the beginning, we would some of the leaders of the church would go up in a tower up above the church. We would make our way up the stairs. And one day as we were up there, one of the young men proclaimed, "This is a power tower." And so it became the power tower. And that's been going on. The 24-hour prayer ministry has been going on now for 20 years. And they've received somewhere between 800,000 and a million prayer requests. So some faithful people there. And we just want to congratulate the Power Tower. If you can be with us at 10 o'clock Sunday morning or 6:30 Sunday evening. And for more information, about this Sunday's ministry, you can go to calvarycathedral.org, calvarycathedral.org. And if you're somewhere and you're not a part of a local church, those services are broadcast online, so you can join us by online video there, and I know that you'll be blessed. So it's good to have you listening, and this is a program designed to pray for revival in America and other spiritual awakening. So, Father, we just pray right now for revival in America, another spiritual awakening. And Lord, I pray that America would awaken to their need of revival in this land, a reviving. Revive the church, O God. Revive us as individuals. Revive our families. And Lord, we know that prayer is the key. It's not just prayer. It's prayer and witnessing to people. It's prayer and healing the sick. And it's prayer and starting a business. So we pray in order to do something. And we pray to have direction. We pray to know God. We pray to know what He wants us to do. Father, we just bless You right now. We pray Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray that You'll give us this day our daily bread. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen and amen. And so we come by the blood of Jesus, by the name of Jesus, praying the will of God be done on this broadcast today on BPN Radio. The will of God be done in your individual life, and the will of God be done in your family, and the will of God be done in your church, in your city, and the will of God be done on your job, the will of God be done in your business. Whatever you put your hand to do, we pray the will of God be done, the will, plan, and purpose of God be done in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And we're praying today concerning the will of God for your life, the making of a champion, what one word from God can do in your life can be quite amazing. And I remember in 2005, when Evander Holyfield's trainer is on today, visited one of my services, and I began to prophesy over Evander that he was going to make a major comeback. He had lost three consecutive fights, and the State Boxing Commission in New York had declared that he could no longer box there. But just one word from God changed his life. One word from God, ladies and gentlemen, can change your life forever. So we're thinking big today. It's the making of a champion, since we're talking about the boxer Evander Holyfield and how he became a champion. I believe that you can become a champion. I just know that you have to think big. It's very, very important that you think big. For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So you must understand that God, He thinks big. In fact, He is a big God. And you must understand that with God, all things are possible, and nothing is impossible. And someone sent me this article concerning the testimony of a man in South Africa, and it said it was 4 a.m. in Cape Town, South Africa, in July 2000, when businessman Graham Power was awakened by a vision from God that came in three distinct parts. In the first part of the vision, God instructed Graham to rent the 45,000-seat Newlands Rugby Stadium in Cape Town for a day of repentance and prayer for that city. In the second part of the vision, he saw the prayer movement spreading to the rest of South Africa for a national day of prayer. In the final part of the vision, he saw the prayer effort spread to cover the rest of the continent. It was only 30 days earlier that a man named Gunnar Olsen stood in front of a podium at the conclusion of a marketplace conference in Johannesburg, South Africa, and proclaimed Isaiah 60, which said to arise and shine over the continent of Africa, and that God was going to use Africa to bless the nations. Graham was obedient to the vision, and on March 21st, 2001, a capacity crowd gathered in the Newlands Rugby Stadium for prayer and repentance. Soon after, a notorious gangster in the city was saved. News of the first gathering spread quickly, and in 2002, eight cities in South Africa hosted a day of prayer. Leading up to the event, young people from all over the country took part in a walk of hope from Bloemfontein to the eight stadiums where the prayer meetings were to be held. The events were broadcast on television. By June 2006, what began as Transformation Africa became the Global Day of Prayer, with participation from 200 nations from seven continents around the world, and this prayer movement is still going. It all started from the obedience of one businessman. What might God want to do through your life? It begins with being obedient to the small things and exercising your faith to believe God can do it. Our part is obedience. His part is outcome. Fantastic. So the makings of a champion. And I believe that God wants us to be champions. I believe that he wants us to be history makers. So here's my friend, Martin Smith. He's talking about the makings of a champion. He said, I'm going to be a history maker. We need to be history makers. Here's Martin Smith, and then we'll be talking to Tim Hallmark.
Is it true today that when people pray, cloudless skies will break, kings and queens will shake? Yes, it's true. And the
Okay, it's good to have on BPN Radio today a man who's been my friend for the past 10 years or so, Tim Hallmark. And Tim was the trainer for world champion boxer by the name of Evander Holyfield. And I met Tim in some unusual circumstances. I was ministering in Austin, Texas. I called him up to give a prophetic word over Tim, and suddenly the Holy Spirit just spoke to me and said, Evander Holyfield is about to make a major comeback. And I announced that to the congregation, and that night Tim went home and told Evander, and Evander wanted me to call him. So it started a journey there with Tim Hallmark and Evander Holyfield. Tim, it's good to have you on today.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about your background. I know that that you had some incredible awards yourself before you became a trainer.
Well, I've actually been a fitness and sports performance trainer for about 35 years. I've spent a big part of my life training in some shape, form, or fashion, training dogs, training horses, training athletes, training business people. So it seems like a big part of my life has been training. And I've had my own facilities. I've actually designed some products that are all about training. So, you know, I realized I'm actually working on it's a health manual, but it's why I'm healthier at 60 years old than I was at 30 years old. And it's all the different things that I've learned over the last 35 years, the things in my own life that I've learned and put into practice, started training. That have made me healthier, and really about 85% of them aren't necessarily physical things. I discovered that some of the fittest people I know maybe aren't the healthiest people I know. When I was super fit, I wasn't as healthy as I am now. So I want to share some of the things in my own life that have allowed me to become healthier. And again, probably 85% of them are straight from the Word of God. But you got to train those things so they can actually become part of your day-to-day walk.
Well, I agree, and I know that you have a great background. You graduated from University of Houston, Texas, 1979 with a BS degree, and you have been a part of the Kenneth Cooper Institute for Aerobic Research in Dallas. That's a worldwide institute. And you've got the Certificate of Fitness Specialist and Certification of Physical Fitness Leader. And you are a member of the American College of Sports Medicine, member of the National Strength and Conditioning Association, and you have helped a lot of different athletes get more fit. You've been a trainer. Tell us a little bit about your journey with Evander Holyfield, and then we're going to talk about some other things because I know that people are very interested that you were Evander's trainer during the course of his rise to incredible boxing prominence. You were there at ringside and some of the most incredible fights in American history. So tell us how that came about.
Well, I was training a lot of people. I had my own facility. I was blessed to be able to train in the manner that I felt like was the best way to do it. I was very, very blessed to have a lot of people that trusted me enough to let me be very innovative, and I got to be known as a guy that kind of was thinking outside of the box, training people maybe a little different way than the way most people were being trained. And then my business shifted to where I was getting more and more athletes, and more college athletes and professional athletes. And one day, Lou Duva, Evander's trainer, his manager came in and said that he only had 7 professional fights. He had never fought for a world championship. He was fixing to fight for his first world champion as a cruiserweight. And they said that he had a conditioning problem, that he had never been more than 7 rounds, that they felt like if he ever had to go the distance, he would run out of gas. And the guy that he was going to fight, they knew could go the distance. It was scheduled for a 15-round fight. And an orthopedic surgeon had recommended me as a guy that could help him get in condition for that 15-round fight. So I took that on. It's just another client. I made a slot in my book for him, and he was just another one of my clients. So we took off on that journey, but I'll never forget that the first thing we did, I didn't know anything about Evander. I didn't remember that he was the Olympics. I was so busy with my own business and being married and having young children and all that. I was just busy, you know, and I didn't remember Evander's background. But the first thing we did do was we went back to my little room in my workout gym, and we just prayed for God's help in this endeavor. Because of course it was important to me, but it was very important to him because it was his first world championship. And to this day, I mean, we talk weekly, and we've stayed connected way past, the training part of it. And he went on to win that fight. That went 15 rounds. Nobody thought he could do it. I was blessed to get a lot of credit for that. And so that just kind of set a precedence for that he trusted the training techniques that I used that were different. And then I stayed with him through all of his fights, moved him up to heavyweight, just went through a lot of the ups and downs in his career. And he and I became best friends and had our arguments and had our battles. But at the end of the day, you know, we cared for each other. We loved each other. And we stuck together, even though a lot of people, I think, in some ways, maybe thought I wasn't the right guy for him, and maybe thought he should get, you know, we just hung in there, and to this day we're very, very close, and I'm very thankful for that.
So what are some of the highlights of your training and tenure and journey with Evander Holyfield?
Well, of course, when he fought Michael Moore, that was a fight that everybody thought he had a heart attack and all that, and I rode in the ambulance with him after the fight, but I can remember, because I was in the corner, I can remember him throwing that jab and dropping his arm, and right then I told the other corner man, I said, he just separated his shoulder. And so I rode with him to the hospital and sat there with him in the hospital. I remember laying there and looking at him and think, wow, he looks so big. Well, we found out, you know, weeks later they'd give him too much fluid. So I went through that whole thing with, the, like I said, the ups and downs. When everybody thought he was going to retire, and he told everybody he was going to retire. Then when he told everybody that he was healed, and the Benny Hinn situation, the Mike Tyson situation, the Riddick Bowe situation. You know, I remember one time in a camp, he had actually gotten really, 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 really sick. In fact, there were a number of times Evander was not prepared to fight physically, but one thing he would never do was pull out of a fight. And so we went into a few fights to where I knew that he wasn't ready, but I also knew there was no way in the world he was going to cancel that fight. And that was tough because, you know, it's one thing to be prepared. It's another thing to go into a situation where you're not prepared. So we just learned that had to just learn how to put things in God's hands. And that was our real, you know, the word says iron sharpens iron. On any given day, he's pointing me back to the Lord. On any given day, I'm pointing him back to the Lord. And then most of our conversations was about, you know, what the Word of God said about a situation or what we should be focused on. And so it was like our own little ministry within a ministry of just reinforcing each other. We talked about our kids a lot. We talked about our marriages. We talked about, you know, life. Mm-hmm. So again, I was very, very, very blessed to have a friend. And I guess the hardest thing for me was I always had to be the guy that was saying, come on, we got to do this. Come on, we got to do that. But there was never any loss of the friendship, even when we had our differences, you know, and didn't agree on things. So I guess that's the true side of a friendship is whenever you go through some things together and come out better on the other side.
Well, I believe that. And, of course, you know, after you introduced me to Evander, I gave him that prophetic word, and I got to I got to make the journey for several years and was a part of his comeback there in Dallas and El Paso and San Antonio, and then got to travel to Moscow with you guys. And
right.
Spending time praying in the Holy Spirit before the boxing matches. It was a great experience. But I know you did a great job in training Evander, and I'm so thankful to have met you and have you in my life and as a wonderful friend. And I know.
Well, thank you. I feel the same way.
I know, Tim, that you and your wife Melinda, y'all love Jesus, and I just know that God has a wonderful plan for your life, and I know that you want people to be fit, and I know that you trained Evander. I know getting someone ready for a 15-round boxing match, I know, is a tremendous challenge, and it just takes lots of preparation. And from what I understand, that you trained right along with Evander.
Yeah, back then, I pretty much introduced him to chiropractic care, proper nutrition, good supplementation, and I guess a lot of things that I wanted to do with him were a little bit, well, they were way different than what he had ever done before. And like I said before, there were people that really weren't endorsing the thing that I wanted to do, but I felt like they were the best thing for him. I actually went over the first week that I was with him and monitored his heart rate during sparring, mm-hmm. to find out that he did not recover very well. So a lot of the training we did was intense training and then helping the body learn how to recover. And so, yeah, I did everything with him. And I think there was this mutual respect, because in the boxing world, what you had back then was a guy holding a clipboard, screaming and hollering, telling you to do this, or running behind your car while somebody drove it, hollering out the window at you. So it's almost kind of like he really couldn't complain that we were doing too much work, because I was doing it too, and then I was working the whole rest of the day. So so I think there was kind of a mutual respect there. And he'll even he said a number of times, yeah, about the time I wanted to start to complain, I realized, man, this man's doing this with me.
You were out running early in the morning with him, weren't you?
Well, we did it all together, and so it was just and the good thing for me is I wanted to make sure that I was in touch with exactly what he was going through, because he was training twice a day, so I wanted to be sensitive. As a trainer, sometimes it's difficult whenever you, because the average Joe, so to speak, should train for consistency, but the athlete needs to train for intensity. Mm-hmm. And when you start training somebody for intensity, you got to be real careful that you don't overtrain them. So that was kind of a way for me to really get in close and see what the body was going through. Even though I was older than him, I was very, very fit. And so if I know that I was really feeling it later on in the day, then I knew he was, and I could make the proper adjustments for the next day's workout. So that was just a choice I made to give me kind of an inside look at exactly what I was putting him through.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that Evander had a very successful run, and having a world championship for what, I guess maybe four times.
Yeah, and, well, five times really is how it ended up, you know.
Yeah, five-time boxing champion. And, of course, when people know that I know Evander as a spiritual son, they always ask me about the Mike Tyson fight. So yeah. I know you were there in the ring at ringside, and I want to ask you about that, and then we're going to talk about some things I know is going to be very helpful to people. But you were there when the ear, part of the ear, was gone, and that must have been quite an occasion.
Yeah, it was. You know, Evander fought before Mike Tyson. He did not fight well. He was real anxious during the fight, and even the day after the fight, I told him, I said, "You fought like an amateur," because I could be real straight forward with Evander, because he knew I loved him, but I could tell him some of the things that maybe nobody else was going to tell him. And I said, you fought like an amateur, but I said, I'll bet you money that the Tyson people are going to want to fight you now because they think you're through. Sure enough, 2 days later, he called me. Man, Holbrook, you won't believe this, man. The doggone Tyson's people called. They wanted to schedule a fight. We both kind of laughed about it. Well, I told him then, I said, Evander, I really think you and I need to go into a private camp, and you get in the best shape you've ever been in before you ever put on a pair of boxing gloves, before you ever put on a pair of boxing shoes, before Tommy and the rest of the team shows up. I want to get you so fit, in such great shape, that all you got to think about in the boxing workouts is how you beat Mike, not getting in shape. Too many athletes use their workouts to get in shape for their sport, or they use their sport to get in shape instead of getting in shape and then play their sport. So I kind of unwrapped for him how I thought we should do this. So he agreed to it. He and I went to Houston by ourselves. Well, Mike was there, but we went for 5 weeks by ourselves, and we did a high-intensity weight workout that he's been quoted as saying it was the hardest thing he's ever done in or out of the ring. And so we did that. 5 weeks later, he weighed about 218 pounds. He was so in shape, but I designed this workout to where it got you in shape mentally, physically, and muscularly. So the boxing trainer, Tommy Brooks, he was elated because, you know, most of these, in all sports, very rarely does a guy show up for a camp already in shape where they can really focus on the skill side of their sport instead of just trying to get in shape. And so I thank God for that. I thank God for coming up with an idea to let's get an early start, let's not wait around. I thank God that he was open to wanting to go the extra mile because it really made a difference. I mean, he was so ready for that fight. There was no doubt in my mind. There was not one single solitary doubt in my mind that he could beat him. There's no doubt in my mind. First time he's got the right boxing skill. So that was just the ear thing was crazy. I actually remember, because I was right there in the corner, I remember looking across the ring and seeing Mike spit out his mouthpiece when he came to the top of the stairs. And I thought, wow, what's up with that? But he had spit his mouthpiece out, which now kind of tells me that's kind of what Mike had planned on doing. And I think it was not to criticize Mike. My gosh, he was a great athlete himself. But I think he had decided he just couldn't take that beating for very much longer, and he needed a way to not have to go through that. But I got to say something about Mike Tyson in the same breath. You know, I've been blessed to be good friends with a couple of the boxing trainers that have worked with Mike, Tommy Brooks and Ronnie Shields. Both of those trainers on different occasions have said to me, you know what, Mike Tyson's not a bad person like everybody thinks he is. Mike Tyson just had some tough things happen in his life. He had the wrong kind of people around him, but he goes day in and day out. Tommy Brooks said, Mike Tyson's a sweetheart. And I said, really? You know, and Ronnie Shields said, yeah, Mike's not the guy that the media makes him out to be. Mike's not the guy when he's on his medicine, acts the way he does at the present. That's not the real Mike, you know. And I thought, well, you know, that's kind of refreshing. And the one time I talked to Mike, I think I got to see maybe who the real person is. And he just seemed different than what the media has always, you know, portrayed him as, and he'd go crazy and act crazy and all that. In fact, when Evander and I went to the press conference, only Evander and I went to the press conference for that big fight. He and I just flew down there and sat down and did the press conference and came back. Mike had about 22 people in his entourage. And then that just tells you who Evander Holyfield is. As far as Evander went, that was just another fight. That guy puts on his pants just like I do. And so over the course of 20-something years, I saw Evander pretty much be the same person all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, whether people liked it or not, he wasn't one of these guys that's changing what he believes, changing who he is from 1 week to the next. His whole faith was in God. He knew that his boxing ability was a gift from God. He knew the mistakes he'd made in his life, like the rest of us, and was always trying to be better for God, but wanted people to know that, hey, wait a minute, this isn't about me. This is just a gift I've been given.
Yeah.
Well, that always impressed me.
I know. Evander's got a great testimony. I visited him on the phone the other day. We're gonna have him on before long and share his testimony. He's got a great testimony. But I know that you do as well, Tim Hallmark, not only training Evander Holyfield, but the ability to train other people spiritually, physically, and emotionally. And I know that spirit, soul, and body, you have done that. Well, you love Jesus. You're an incredible man of God. I would recommend any church have you come and speak to their men's group. and share your story, share your journey. And you know, I know that it's very, very important for us to be spiritually fit, but I also believe it's very important for us to be physically fit. And I know that you have worked on that. And we have maybe 7 or 8 minutes left. Maybe you'd like to just share with our listeners here before I have you to pray about how people could be more physically fit. I know that Christians don't give a lot of attention to that, but I believe that you could give us some pointers that would really help us, some insight.
Okay. Yeah, I feel like God put on my heart about, 4 or 5 months ago to really step off on this thing and to share why I'm healthier at 60 than I was at 30. I may not be able to run quite as far. Maybe I can't run as fast. Maybe I can't jump as high, but I'm definitely healthier. And like I said earlier, everybody's training. Every single person is training. What do you mean everybody's training? Well, even a person that gets up late and doesn't get the proper, they're training themselves to be lazy. You know, someone who studies and is trying to further their education, they're training themselves to put themselves in a better position. So really, a whole lot of where we end up is what we train ourselves to do, which means what we repeat over and over and over again until that becomes part of who we are. And when it comes to physical training, like I said, for the person that's working every day, the Dale Gentry, Tim Hallmark, you know, the business people, the homemaker, we need to be, our key should be consistency. We do not have to, in America, we always think that harder is better, more is better, and I'm here to tell you that consistency is the key. Even a moderate workout, even an easy workout, 3 or 4 times a week is so much better than nothing. And that's where you're going to get your results for people that aren't athletes, is consistency. And so I think a lot of times, what I've seen a lot of, not to be critical, is a lot of the workout programs really are designed for the people that are already pretty fit. And so the people that want to get fit get in those programs, and they give up. They quit, or they get hurt. And even a lot of the studies have shown the statistics that a lot of people either quit because it's just too hard, or they get hurt and have to quit. So I've always kind of felt like the one thing I don't want to do is set somebody up to fail. But so I think consistency is the most important thing. Training your whole body 3 times a week with some type of resistance training, either the bands or dumbbells or machines, something to where you challenge your muscle. And I'm talking about men and women both, where you challenge the muscle to have to respond to some type of resistance and overcome that resistance. The next thing would be to train in your heart rate range according to your age. Most people that quit exercise is because their heart rate gets too high and they're uncomfortable, and they do not want to do it again, so they come up with a reason not to do it again. And that range is very, very easy to figure out. And it's like having a built-in trainer. So in a good comprehensive workout for most people, not necessarily the athlete, but for most people, would be to train 3 times a week, train your whole body with resistance training in your target heart rate range. And get a heart rate monitor or simply just take your heart rate. And because if you stay in your heart rate range, you're going to get a good cardiovascular effect. You're going to be able to tone muscle. You're going to be able to burn fat. But you're going to want to do it again in a couple of days. You're not going to figure out some reason not to do it. And then, of course, nutrition is going to be, probably 60% of the results. People learning that you have to have some type of breakfast. You need to have a shake or some type of, you know, protein, good carbohydrate meal, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times a day. It just depends on your lifestyle and all that. And then after your workout, to make sure that you replace the nutrients that you spent in the workout. So you don't feel bad later on the day, and then again, decide you don't want to do this anymore. The other thing is I believe a person could literally spend less than an hour 3 times a week. And that's talking about the warm-up, the stretch, and the workout. Total time, less than an hour 3 times a week, and get some good, substantial results. And once a person starts getting some results and they realize, you know what, I'm not crazy about this while I do it, but it does work, then they can start adding to it if they want, or doing something on the off day or something like that. I just feel like a lot of people feel like that there's a lot more work and a lot more time required to get in shape than there really is.
Well, I know that you've helped a lot of people, and I know that there's a spiritual side to it, but there's also a physical side to it, and I know that you've combined both of those, and I'm going to have you to help me pray for these people. So I know that workouts are very, very important, that diet's very important, and but so many people, like you say, get started, but they're not consistent. Do you have some information that might help people? Do you have a website? Do you have any materials?
Well, no, we're finishing up our website with my different products on it, and one of my products is going to be the manual, the health manual. In that health manual, there's going to be a lot of, I hate to use the word tips, because I feel like there's a lot more. It's more than just a tip, but it's, like I said earlier, it's both spiritual tips and it's also physical tips. I'm even considering having a couple of DVDs that would go with that manual that would give a person a good baseline workout protocol. It's one of the protocols that I've used for probably 40 years. It seems to be the one that's most successful for most people. It'd be a very, very good database and a place for, in fact, a lot of clients I've had use that workout and continue to use it forever. And so I'm considering having that to where a person could get all the 100-something reasons why I'm healthier at 60 than 30, and at the same time get a fundamentally comprehensive workout protocol that they could plug into their life at home or plug into their life at the gym. One of my products is actually, it's called the Symmetricore. It's actually a bench that you can train your core on and do all your dumbbell work. So you could actually do all your training, you know, in the luxury of your home, in a spare bedroom, in your garage. I actually work out in a little shed that's about 100-something square feet with my Symmetricore, and I'm having some of the best workouts I've ever had in my life.
Wow.
So then I say that not to so much promote my product as much as you don't have to have this big gym to go to. You don't have to have all this equipment. What you have to have is a plan,
uh-huh.
a place of knowing where you're going to go, and then just go get it done. I mean, I've told people for years, on Sunday night, if you don't know where you're going to work out, when you're going to work out, and what you're going to do in your workout, it probably won't happen. And if it doesn't
right.
happen, then you're probably never going to, you're going to be one of those people that say, well, yeah, working out never really worked for me. And I hope I go to my grave saying, exercise and proper nutrition still works.
Yeah.
It still works.
I believe
that. You know, a person has some physical problems, some hormonal problems or something, yeah, there's a lot of great people out there that can help them with that. But day in and day out, it's amazing how many people can improve the physical side of their life without spending a lot of time with the right plan, the right place, and the right understanding of what they're supposed to do. I even have friends that work out all the time, and I said, well, what do you do in your workout? Well, there's no plan.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just a real big believer that you have to have a plan, whether it's your spiritual plan that you're going to get
right.
up every morning and read scripture,
yeah.
or whether you're going to pray in the spirit, or whether you're going to listen to a sermon, that there's got to be some kind of a plan. Not that plan, God can't change that plan, but at least you know I'm going to get up. If I got to be out the door at 9 o'clock, I'm going to get up at 7:30. Like I knew I was going to have this conference call with you, so I made sure I got up early enough to where I could get my spiritual training in.
Yeah.
It's all about training. I have my spiritual training, then later on I have my physical training, and so I'm just real big on training. You know,
yeah.
it's not a dirty word. All it is repeating the same act over and over, and the results you get are a result
uh-huh.
of training.
Yeah.
Training your mind, training your body, training yourself by making sure you have that proper nutrition. But my wife is amazing. She keeps good nutrition in our house all the time.
Uh-huh.
I never have to think, oh, God, we're out of almond milk. Oh, we're out of, you know, just, so anyway, it's going to all come back to training. But the training protocols for life, for nutrition, for physical, for spiritual, is not complicated.
Right.
It's not complicated. It doesn't even have to be sophisticated. It can just be simple understanding, and then go do it.
Well, I certainly agree, Tim. Planning is very, very important, and training and consistency. I'm where I'm at today because God spoke to me in February of 1966 and said, give me the first hour of your day. I was an engineer at the radio station and had to be at work at 3:30 in the morning. So I started getting up at 2 o'clock, but each morning I would arise at 2 o'clock to give God the first hour of my day. Because of my consistency, then several months later, I was called to preach and entered the ministry. So I believe it's
very important. What a great story. I've never heard that story. That's a great story. that's just reinforces this whole thing. I've said this for years, and this is just the absolute truth. No matter what my challenge is, and I learned to use that term from my son. They would say, now I'm kind of going through this challenge. They never say, oh, I've got this big problem. It's always a challenge. Whatever the challenge is in my life, if I have my spiritual time and then my physical time training, that challenge, if it was a 10, is now a 2.
Uh-huh.
And there's just and of course, I believe the Word of God says that spiritual training is important. It actually says that in one translation. It says physical training is important, but spiritual training is the most important.
Right.
So I'm thinking, okay, there it is right there, folks. God's endorsing physical training and spiritual training.
Yeah, that's true.
And I know there's days when whenever I'm going through a challenge, I get that time alone with the Lord and cast my fears on Him and get some confirmation scriptures that it's going to be okay. And then I get a good workout in, break a sweat, get my heart rate up, I can take on the world, and I hate the thought of not having my spiritual time and my physical time.
Yeah.
It's training. It comes down to training.
Yeah, I believe that a lot of people die premature deaths because they certainly had the spiritual training, but they did not take care of themselves physically.
Yep.
And I believe they die premature death and not able to finish strong. So
yeah, it's hard to harbor a sound mind in a weak body.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. That's true. Your spirit may be strong, but if your flesh is weak and you're not able to go and deliver the message, it makes it difficult. Tim, it's
absolutely
great to have you on. I want you to say a prayer for people. They'll find a rhythm about their life, and they will connect a physical training along with their spiritual training. So, because I know that most of it's people, Christians, that listen to the broadcast. So you can just say a prayer for them.
Okay. Dear Father God, I praise and I thank you for Dale and his love for people. I praise and I thank you for his desire and diligence, he and Gene both, to always be there to love people. I praise and I thank you, Father God, that you are love and that you proved it by giving us Jesus Christ, your Son, that we can walk with him every single day. Father God, I ask in the name of Jesus that you would give each person listening, as well as myself, a deep revelation of what their life is lacking in the area of spiritual training as well as physical training, and that you would give them the ability and the plan and the wisdom and the divine appointment to learn more about what that is, and it would not be complicated to them. It would not be overwhelming. It could be simplified and become just part of their life. That would overflow into every part of their life, into their marriage, into their relationships, into their finances, into their business, in every area of their life. So, Father God, I ask now in the name of Jesus that the revelation of spiritual and physical training as a part of every person's life would go out now, giving you all the praise and giving you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Tim, thank you very much for being on BPN Radio today. And if somebody wants to contact you, do you have a contact number or contact email?
I'm working with my marketing people as we speak. I'm supposed to actually get some stuff back from the end of next week. And what I'm thinking about doing is changing my website with my products on it. I've been encouraged by a lot of people to just make my website Hallmark Training and have all of my products, my manual, all of that under that one because everything I do is about training, as we just discussed, and that would also be an avenue for me to talk about spiritual training and all that. So what you might do is, if you have any interest, is in the weeks to come, be looking for hallmarktraining.com as a website. But I can also give a contact information. My best contact information is hallmarktraining@mac.com.
hallmarktraining@mac.com.
Yeah, mac.com.
Mac.com. And I know that if people just Google Tim Hallmark, they can get a lot of information about you. And I would like to recommend you to anyone that would like for you to come and minister to their men, speak to their men, because I know that you're a man's man, a church, some type of group organization. I know you do a terrific job, and they would be blessed. Tim Hallmark, it's great to have you as my friend, and a delight to have you on BPN Radio today. We'll look forward to having you back at a later time. God bless you.
Thank you. And tell Rick and his family hello.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Bye-bye. Love you. Thank you.
Love you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, it's been great to have Tim Hallmark on with us today. World-renowned trainer. He's been on so many, many different programs we didn't mention, but written so many articles. Tim Hallmark, longtime friend of mine, here on BPN Radio, The Makings of a Champion. And it's so good to have you listening in here. So thankful to have you a part of BPN Radio. And if you want to make a donation, you can do that by going to bpnradio.com, bpnradio.com. Going down to the bottom of the page and you can double-click on that, use your PayPal, use your credit card, debit card, send a check, and send a contribution to BPN to help us call for 1,000 churches, 1,000 cities, and now 1,000 prayer groups. And if your prayer group would like to be included in the BPN Prayer Network, you've got a prayer group, then you can just simply go to BPNradio.com. There's a place for 1,000 churches. So we've been talking about athletics today, since this is a time we're talking about boxing, talking about competition. I would like to make a special prayer request on behalf of a young man that I know that lives not far from Edmond, Oklahoma, and his name is Gabe Gigout. And I just want to request a prayer for Gabe. And he's in a wheelchair. And he is the only wheelchair athlete on the USA non-disabled powerlifting team. And, of course, that's miraculous, because Gabe's prognosis and the amount of surgeries he's had, he's really a testimony for Jesus Christ everywhere he goes. So I want to pray for Gabe today. Gabe is competing at the World Bench Press Competition in Sweden on May the 19th. So we're praying for funds and protection for them and their family as they prepare to go to Sweden. And so, Father, we just pray for Gabe Gigout, the young man who lives not far from us in Elgin, Texas. We just ask, God, that you be with him and inspire him and protect him and his family as they travel to Sweden as he competes at the World Bench Press Competition. Young man in a wheelchair. And I'm not sure how old Gabe is, but he's a young man, a teenager. And so we pray for him. We bless him, speak healing in Jesus' name. And for every one of you that need a miracle in your life, we speak healing over you today, in Jesus' name, and may you be the person that God has designed you to be, ordained you to be, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you. Thank you for being a part of BPN Radio today. And remember, we'll be at ministering Calvary Cathedral this Sunday morning, Sunday night, the 20th anniversary of the Power Tower. Join us if you will. And we look forward to being back with you tomorrow at the same time or any time here on BPN Radio. You have a good day.
You've been listening to BPN Radio with Dale Gentry, your 24-hour internet prayer station. Tell your friends around the world to listen to this hourly broadcast as we pray for a revival in America, another spiritual awakening. Remember, as America goes, so goes the world. BPN Radio is sponsored by you, their loyal listeners and prayer partners. To donate to this network, click on the donate button on our website at www.bpnradio.com. Remember that your contributions are tax deductible. Tune in at the same time or any time, day or night, to pray with Dale Gentry.